the inaugural first ever podcast of the Comedians of Wrestling. This is the podcast where comedians come on and we talk about the thing we love, wrestling. I am your host, Dan Black. You're probably wondering, who are you? I am a comedian. I live in Los Angeles. I'm an actor. I perform here at the UCB Theater. Forget all that. Most importantly, I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. I've been watching wrestling pretty much my entire life. My first wrestling memory was in 1991. I watched The Undertaker zip the Ultimate Warrior into a body bag, and I cried. I legitimately cried. My dad had to console me in the Nassau Coliseum. I also run a quarterly comedy wrestling show at the UCB Theater here in Los Angeles, which is super fun, and we've had a bunch of WWE superstars stop by, which is really cool. And I also actually trained as a wrestler for a one-month period when I was making a Funny or Die web series called Unprofessional Wrestling. I trained at Santino Brothers Academy in California, which was insane. So I have a little bit of insight into how it is to train as a professional wrestler. So why should you listen to this podcast? There are a million podcasts. Why am I making this podcast? First off, because I love podcasts. I can listen to podcasts forever. As far as I'm concerned, there's not enough podcasting going on. But specifically is that I noticed that comedians love wrestling. There are so many comedians. Now, not every comedian. Obviously, not every comedian. But there's a huge faction, or stable, if you will, of comedians who love wrestling and love to talk about wrestling. I'm bumping into comedians at auditions, people I know, you know, shows, whatever. We end up talking for over an hour about wrestling. So I was like, hey, why don't we put this on a podcast? The other thing that's interesting is it seems to be vice versa. A lot of wrestlers seem to love comedy, which makes sense. A bunch of wrestlers come to our show. Dolph Ziggler is a guy who's came to our show a bunch of times, and he's doing a bunch of stand-up. He is a comedian. So the world of wrestling and comedy seems to be connected, and that's what this podcast is. It's connecting wrestling and comedy. We're joining, if you would like a metaphor, we're joining the Avatar ponytails of comedy and wrestling here. I also noticed that comedians also have a really unique perspective on everything. I mean, that's what comedians are. That's why they get into comedy. It's like, I have something to say about the world. That applies to wrestling as well. I think comedians have the most interesting observations and funny observations about wrestling. And I'm always surprised about how other comedians ingest the product. I like wrestling. I'm a serious wrestling fan, but I also like it in a fun way. I enjoy the theatrics. I like the absurd, over-the-top costuming, and I like that it's 90% staring. I love all that part of it, and then a lot of my other friends are hardcore indie wrestling fans, and it's fun to see their perspective on the product. So I'll talk every week to a new comedian, maybe some wrestlers. Some wrestlers, you know, have reached out to me about the stage show, and so maybe we'll try to get some of them on here, and we'll have some cool guests, and just talk about wrestling and how it affects us and just dissect the product. So let's talk about wrestling. Okay, so my first guest ever on the podcast is a really funny guy. He's a performer, writer at the UCB Theater in New York and LA.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Matthew Brian Count.
Hello. Hi,
everybody. Do you go by the full name? I've always called you Matthew Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I like it. I also, casually, I'm fine with Matt. Is okay with me, just because it feels so formal. And
no,
so
I do call you Matt, though.
Yeah.
I do call you Matt when I'm not saying your full name, but when I'm introducing you.
No, I like that.
You do like that, right?
Because it's like, this is like a stage name, you know what I mean? It's like I can own this full name, where Matt Cohen, it's a super common Jewish name.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like, oh, what makes me distinct in the entertainment field?
Yeah, like, right. We all got to find our niche. We got to find what makes us.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. So it's funny. It's already my first mess up on the podcast. I was debating getting into this. This is how you know it's the first podcast. Is that right before I should ask, like, hey, how do you want to be introduced?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That seems like.
No, but you did it. You did it right.
But I did do it right. Anyway, enough about non-wrestling business. Mm-hmm. First off, tell our listener.
Soul singular.
Yeah. Tell our listener, you know, your background in wrestling and anything about you in wrestling.
Yeah. I think I became a wrestling fan in, I want to say, like 1997. I think it was like right as the Monday Night Wars. Well, you know, it's funny is I was always a WCW guy.
Wow.
My uncle.
Not me.
Yeah. I, you know what? What's funny is I could tell. You just have the look of a WWF fan.
I ooze WWE. Yeah.
I was WCW. My uncle was like, check this out. Saw Nitro. I was like, this is really cool. This is really fun. Got into it. Started watching it. You know, like 97, 98. That was when like wrestling was so hot. So it was just like, you couldn't help but get really into it. And then, you know, I had friends who were into it. You know, you're watching Nitro every night.
Well, what did you like about Nitro over Raw? Because I couldn't disagree more. Like, yeah. I turn on Nitro and it felt like, to me, it felt like watching like Playboy versus like some like a hustler or something or something that's like more
so is Raw like, Playboy in that
Raw is like really? Playboy to me.
I was like Raw is like hustler because Raw I think at that time was more risque, more...
I guess I just mean in its polishedness.
Okay,
like,
sure.
I'm very big into we'll learn about this as the podcast goes on, and I mentioned it in the intro, is that I'm very into the theatrics of wrestling. I, you know, as a performer, I get really into, like, the presentation.
Yes.
I think that's where Vince McMahon has always been.
He's been
way ahead of the curve.
Yes.
And that's, I've always appreciated that.
Agreed.
Like, one thing about Nitro that I always noticed was that they couldn't filter out the smoke. I know this is, like, the smallest thing, but it mattered.
You know what
to me
I really,
so
I like that. It
you
felt
did?
Cool. It felt like a sports environment. I really liked that. And I loved, at the time, I loved the NWO angle. I thought that was, like...
Of course.
I loved all that. I loved, like, WCW versus NWO. I thought, like, Sting, the whole Sting thing at the time was great, where he was just gone for the whole year.
Right.
And he was just, like, silently in the rafters. I was like, this is the coolest thing.
That was all the
great
stuff.
Where is this going? Yeah.
And that's where they started winning in the ratings.
Yes, exactly. And that was me. I came into that, and I was, like, so hooked on that.
And so you like, when Stone Cold... This is the same time as, like, Stone Cold, The Rock... Mick Foley.
Like, well, I hated those guys because it was like, I'm Team WCW, and I was just like, they can't hang. Come on.
You're like, fuck Stone Cold. Yeah. I'm all Goldberg.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. And also, it was like, Goldberg, Jewish. You know what I mean? I was like,
of course.
Man.
I mean, as a guy from Long Island, Stone Goldberg being Jewish was like,
yeah.
I still don't believe it.
Yeah.
I still don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I still think that was a work. So, let me ask you one question. How do you think wrestling has affected your comedy, right? Because you're like a comedy writer. You don't have to have a specific answer because I guess that's kind of like a tough question.
I have an answer.
Great.
I think in terms of like, especially with sketch and like gimmicks, you know what I mean? Like a wrestler's gimmick is basically like, that's the UCB like game of the scene. It's just
right.
Like, great, I got it. And it's just very much, I think, like you can distill down who this character is into like one word.
Yeah.
Like the first thing that popped in my head is like, Disco Inferno,
yeah.
WCW, is like, great, got it. Like, you get his deal 100% right away. Everything he does, every move he does is like,
He is John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I guess that influenced me in terms of like, when you're writing a sketch or writing a piece, it's just like, what's the point of this? What's the game of this?
I think that's why I want to do this podcast, is because I've realized that the Venn diagram between comedy and wrestling,
yeah, it's big.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Because so much of what wrestling is sketch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Comedy.
It's a lot of sketch comedy, and especially in performance aspects of it, too.
Exactly.
Like, it's broad, but, like, focused broad in that way. It's like, oh, everyone's got their deal. And so it's, like, played outwards, like, very, like, Commedia dell'arte, you know what I mean?
100%.
Like, yeah.
Because, like, I do a lot of sketch performing, a lot of stage acting.
Yes.
That stuff is so in line with what wrestlers do when they're in the ring.
Yeah.
And you can tell whenever a movie performer or, you know, like a movie actor comes on Raw, they like bomb.
Yeah.
Because
it's too small.
They don't know how to play it.
Yeah.
You're playing for a
crowd. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so you have to be bigger. You have to be very theatrical. Like, subtlety.
Super deliberate.
Can't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just have to be like almost corny. I mean, it's like cheesy.
Yeah. Yes.
But
it's so stylized. It's like a soap opera style. It's very much like, I am a good guy. Here's what I'm going to say. I am a bad guy.
Right.
Let me counter that. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the only people who come on Raw, celebrities who nail it, are wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Like someone who legitimately are fans.
Like I thought I remember Jeremy Piven did it one time. I thought he was good.
Yeah.
The guy Bob Barker was good.
Yeah. The Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was really good.
Oh, yeah.
And he was clearly a fan.
Yes.
He came out hot. Yeah. So let's get into Raw this week.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the product. So the biggest thing, obviously, is the Rollins injury.
Yeah.
That's clearly the
Couldn't have come at a worse time.
It couldn't have come at a worse time. I agree. Well, Jen, first off, how do you feel about Rollins?
I love him. I think he's great. I've been a fan of his. I'm a big indie wrestling fan. I mostly watch indie wrestling.
And I am not. Yeah. And that's another reason I really wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because, again, WCW, the indie guy, like, it's amazing. We're two sides of the same coin. Is that the expression?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Where it's amazing. Like, I'm like a hardcore...
Yeah.
WWE guy.
I did go into, and I know this is backtracking a bit, but 99, 2000, I think WCW was going down, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was pretty bad, and I obviously switched over.
Well, it's like they let Jericho go.
WWF, yeah, and these are all my guys, like when Jericho showed up, I was like, Jericho.
Once the ship was going down, they all started jumping around.
Yeah,
so then and it became one product.
Yeah, and then when you had like Eddie Guerrero, Saturn, Benoit, Malenko, I was this is... Amazing.
No Benoit talk here, please.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay. wait, so where were we? Rollins.
Rollins. Yeah. He was Tyler Black on the indie scene.
Yeah,
I saw him like in ROH first. So I was a big ROH fan. And when I was living in New York, I would go to see shows in New York and New Jersey, all the ROH shows there. And he like kind of popped up with this guy, Jimmy Jacobs, who's now a writer at WWE. Who's great. And they were a tag team.
That's amazing. You saw Rollins on his...
Ascent.
I'm like the guy who, like, they pop up on Raw or, like, NXT, and then I'm back researching, pretending like I've always been a fan.
Yeah, no, for a lot of these guys now, it's like, oh, I saw them develop, and it's, like, a real treat to see them succeed after being, like, fans of theirs for years. So he was, like...
Well, I think... Well, sorry to cut you off, but I think this is a really interesting point about wrestling fans. I think it's completely okay to be, like... Is the expression I want fair weather fan?
Yeah.
Or like be a complete poser
in wrestling? Okay. Yeah.
I think it's fair. Like all my friends, I have a group of friends who watch wrestling. They all have Bullet Club t-shirts.
Yeah.
They never watched a second of the Bullet Club.
Sure.
They're wow.
But it's just cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. In the same way that I was just like, I love the NWO immediately. And it was just like, I never, you know, it's like I'd see them for 1 week.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Kevin Nash, man.
Yeah, man. I have every Kevin Owens t-shirt that you could purchase.
Yeah.
Like, I watched 1 second of him when he was Steam.
Yeah.
I did hear of him, actually, which is pretty good.
He's phenomenal.
But I feel like that's encouraging in wrestling. Because wrestling, it's like not, you know.
The second a guy gets hot, it's like, yes.
Yeah.
We're on.
But that's part of the fun of wrestling. It's like jumping on board. And it's like, that's like the part of wrestling that we pull from real sports.
Yeah.
And we get to just... fake it, which is fun.
Yeah.
So you were watching Rollins on the indie circuit.
Yeah, as Tyler Black, and he was great. Everyone had pegged him as like, this is gonna be the guy. Because he was such a good worker in the ring. Like, he was an amazing wrestler. His promos weren't there yet.
Yeah.
But it was just like, oh, you give him time and he will be great. And he was paired with Jimmy Jacobs, who's an amazing promo. Like one of my favorites.
Right.
Such a great character.
I'm going to watch Jimmy Jacobs right after this, and then I'm going to pick up a couple of Jimmy Jacobs t-shirts.
Yeah.
And
of course.
Tell everyone how great Al Michaels
is. I can recommend you the Jimmy Loves Lacey feud, which is a little bit before Tyler Black.
Yeah, Lacey Peterson.
Yeah. But in ROH, the Jimmy Loves Lacey feud was great, and Tyler Black kind of came into that. And they were part of a stable called the Age of the Fall in ROH, and Tyler Black was amazing. It's great. When he got called up, I was like, he's definitely going to be the guy.
Right.
And it's amazing to see that, like, oh, he's not just... Because there's a ceiling sometimes, or there used to be more of anyway in WWE for guys from the indie scene.
So you're a hardcore Rollins guy.
Yes.
Like, you were all in on Rollins. So was I.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
I remember at a show in 2008, he was talking about... this is like, Obama mania kind of sweeping the country. And he's like, you know, we need change in Ring of Honor. We need change. And like... me and the whole crowd, like everybody, it was just like Obama fever. Everyone was chanting Obama at him because it was like, this guy is like our wrestling Obama. And like, I remember the look on his face. I'll never forget it. It was like, he felt overwhelmed. Like he was like, I don't necessarily want to hitch my wagon. Yes. To this thing. Cause like, I don't think I was going for that.
Right.
But I think he felt weirdly honored that he was you're
wrestling is so much. There's so much just to kind of like put a thesis to the points you're bringing up. There's so much to speak about with wrestling, but It's that wrestling has so much heart.
Yes.
There's so much emotion and in wrestling that's like legitimate.
Yes.
That I feel sometimes like watching people rise up the ranks. Very similar to comedy.
Yes. 100%. Yeah.
It's very similar to like, you know,
and you want people to get their just dues. And also I think it's similar to comedy in that like it has to tap into the cultural zeitgeist, like what's going on right now. And in 2008, in Ring of Honor for Seth Rollins, Tyler Black at the time, it was just like, he was this change, like the country was ready for change. Right. They wanted like a charismatic figure who was like, I will deliver, I will come into power, and I will like take us down a new path. And I was just like, yeah, that's what we need right now.
That's amazing. Because, I'm going to check that out on YouTube and pretend I knew about it. But But so here's the thing about the Rollins injury. Mm-hmm. So Rollins is amazing. He's an amazing wrestler.
Yeah.
I like sometimes for fun just watch him do that double superplex into the regular superplex.
Yeah.
I just will be like, oh my God, I got to watch that. I love that. He's amazing. That's great. Everything about him works for me. I'm a huge fan.
Me too.
I think him getting injured is actually a good thing.
Well, it's a good thing. I think, unfortunately, what I don't think this Raw capitalized on, it would be a good thing if it was like, now it's time to make new guys. And like, it's time to like bring up new people and like really like give a shot in the arm to the roster and the direction of the company right now. I don't know if this Raw did that for me.
No, it didn't do that, but they did. Because here's the thing, Rollins is going to be fine. Rollins, he's gonna, you know, hopefully injury heals.
Yes. Seems like nobody wants ACL anybody injury. To be injured.
He'll be back in 9 months. And when he comes back, it opens up the door for him to either go face.
Baby face turn.
And he's going to come out face regardless. Mm-hmm. If they want him to go heel, regardless, he's going to be in that territory of like heel star. Like he's going to come out. It's going to be amazing for him. Yes. It just sucks for him now.
But
he was wrestling too hard to begin with. Like I saw this coming for a while.
Sure, yeah.
But that's okay. So the point is though, tournament is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, the way I see it, the field is so open. Yeah. Cena's gone. Orton's gone.
Mm-hmm. Lesnar is limited.
Lesnar is barely there. Those guys are gone.
And those are the big... those are their big guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't have any stars outside of Cena. Then below that, Orton. Then below that, Rollins. Roman Reigns is their biggest, and he's, I think, barely a blip on
that. Well, we can talk about Reigns literally forever, but but just to make the initial point is that those are guys who have to win.
Yes.
Right? They're the stars. Those are guys who, when they lose, it's a huge deal.
Yes.
So now you have an open field where you can make an unconventional choice without a big guy losing.
Yes.
So
Kevin Owens, Cesaro, for example.
Exactly. Yes. Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Ziggler. Mm-hmm. Those guys all right now are, I think, amazing choices to throw the strap on. It's before Rumble, right? That's where the road to WrestleMania starts. So we're in like the wrestling down period now anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So why not just like use this as an opportunity to push a young star?
I agree. I 100% agree.
I think that's... Now, here's what's going to happen. They're clearly going to blow it.
Oh, 100%.
They're
clearly going to blow it, and I think that's unfortunately the reason why WWE is so cold, I think, in general, is because they always blow it.
Right.
In terms of, like, they have all the talent in the world, but they just keep messing up. They just keep, like, I know exactly what they're going to do. It's going to go, they're going to do Reigns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're going to do Reigns.
And it's going to fall flat because it's not his time yet, and the fans aren't 100% behind him. They should have turned him heel on Raw.
Well, they might be setting up for that. Everyone's saying Reigns is going heel, like that's kind of like all the rumors is that Reigns is gonna go heel, and I've always just been like, They're not doing that. Mm-hmm. And then this opening of Raw with Triple H where he was tempting him to go heel, made me think they opened the door for that to actually
interesting.
Happen. So so who would you choose to win that tournament quick?
And then Owens.
You would choose Owens?
I would 100% go behind him.
Yeah.
They already bobbled him a little bit. Like, I thought when Owens came in so strong, beat Cena, it was like, yes, this is the guy. Everyone was behind him. And then they kind of made him just an upper.
Well, his whole allure, I mean, not his whole allure, but a big part of his allure was that he's like a prize fighter.
Yeah.
That's who he labeled himself. But then he just wrestles on SmackDown.
Exactly.
So you don't wrestle on SmackDown when you're a prize fighter.
Yeah.
There's no prize on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's another problem is they have an entire show that's worthless.
Exactly. Yeah. But the IC Championship is Daniel Bryan's the guy who I wasn't mentioning, the other guy who's out. But
it's
just because we're starting to just forget about him because he might be out for good.
Yeah, it's a very... Well, the thing... I mean, I could talk about
that. Yeah, I want to keep us on track. So, cool. So, we both think probably Reigns will win this tournament.
Yes.
It's looking like Reigns because he's opening up Raw. So, here's the thing about Reigns. Let's talk about him quick. Because he's clearly the guy they're pushing as star, no matter how much we say no.
Yeah.
Though, he's getting massive pop in the arenas. Like, I was at Hell in a Cell.
People don't, like, hate him. They're just, he's just not the level of John Cena. He's just not the guy. He's good, and I think in a role, he's great. Like, in The Shield, phenomenal. The Shield was great.
But Reigns won't... In my head, Reigns does not have that... He does not have the mic skills and charisma that John Cena has.
No.
John Cena is a guy who, like, people love to hate, but John Cena is a mega talent.
Yes.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great. I mean, like, I'm not the biggest John Cena fan.
Me neither, but he
this
is
year
great.
he was pretty great this year.
Yeah.
I was into him this year. Mm-hmm. Where Reigns, I mean, I'm going to eat these words, obviously, because they're going to push him so hard that eventually I'll get into it.
Yeah, sure, yeah. You'll jump on that bandwagon, you'll have your Roman Reigns tank top.
I'm wearing my Roman Reigns tank top. But Roman Reigns, here's my thing with Roman Reigns, and this is where it gets into me personally, into the theatrics of wrestling. He's got to ditch all Shield stuff.
Yeah,
He's got to change that costume, and he's got to get new music. He's got to come down from the ramp. Why is he coming from the crowds? It doesn't make sense.
They're trying to make him like, oh, he's the people's champion, but it's like, he's not. What they should do is use him like, he doesn't say much, he just comes in, he punches some guys, he spears guys, and then he leaves.
Well, that's what he's cool.
Yes,
that's cool. He was standing silent when Triple H was speaking to him on Monday for a long time.
If they did that dumb Triple H promo that went on too long, if he just did that, it's like, do you want to be the guy? And then he just speared him, and then that was it. That would have been
amazing.
That would have been great.
Dude, that would have been so good. I 100% agree.
But they won't do that because in their minds they see like the top guy in the company is a John Cena type guy. A guy who's like, he's the funniest. He's like the best talker. He's super charismatic. Yeah. Like women love him. Men want to be him. It's like they won't change that mold even though nobody or most people don't fit that much.
Yeah, you know, and I think we forget how talented John Cena is. Like,
oh, yeah.
In all facets of wrestling. Like, he had some great matches with Kevin Owens this year, and Kevin Owens is like a top indie talent, and Cena was able to just make some pretty interesting matches, even though losing that awesome pile driver. So, great. So, I think Reigns, my thing with him is just like, put on some undies. You want to be like Hogan, dress like Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, you remember when back in the day, you weren't watching because you were a WCW guy, but like Triple H was wearing pants. See, I'm big into pants versus undies, right?
Yeah.
I think like Triple H worked out so hard to the point where it was like, all right, time to bust out my briefs.
And
when he put on the briefs, then he started being championship material. Right?
Well, Vince has a thing, he loves legs. Is a thing I've heard. Have you heard
maybe
that?
Maybe I love legs also. I'm into that also. He's coming out. Yeah. Like he might be fat under there. Like I don't even know. And like he's just wearing a bulletproof vest, which also feels like cheating.
Yeah.
It's also like you're a professional wrestler.
That's part of wrestling is it's just like, yeah, you gotta just roll with that. That's just...
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
But like no other top guys is coming out with an accessory.
Yeah, sure.
That's like a... With combat gear on. That matters to me a little bit.
Sure.
I think it
worked for The Shield, but it's no longer The Shield.
So right, when The Shield was like a faction, that was like their costume.
Yeah.
They wore a uniform.
Great. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
But if you want to push him as a heavyweight, you have to look and dress like a heavyweight. Like
sure.
I
see that.
That's what I feel. So, cool. So, Triple H, he comes out. What's your relationship with Triple H?
Interesting. I think when I was a kid and I was like starting to, like in 99, 2000, when I was done with WCW and now watching WWF at the time, was also on the internet a lot. I don't know, were you an internet wrestling fan?
Yeah, like, was like all those original
Slash
sites.
Wrestling
Rajas
and all that stuff.
WrestleZone.
Yeah. I was like, I gotta get information. I log on the AOL and get information.
Right.
But it's just like, then I was like, oh, he's a good heel. Like, he's a really good heel. Like, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I liked his heel work. But, like, to me, this is still one of my favorite matches that I haven't seen in a while. Like, that Royal Rumble 2000, Mick Foley as Cactus Jack, Triple H street fight.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden was phenomenal. Great. And that whole setup to that, like, I think 2000 Triple H was amazing. That was his
2000 year. That's when he had that song that was like it's my time.
Yeah.
Like that era when you come out with China.
I think or this was McMahon Helmsley era, kind of.
There was an era that was not DX where he came out with China.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
It runs together. But I really liked him then. I think there's been times where he was like super boring, like 2000, a lot of right. 2000s was really boring. So I don't love him, but he's good. I think he's good.
I think he's best now.
He's solid.
For me, I think this role, I think he's amazing.
Yeah.
He cuts promos and his energy. He's such a great wrestling actor.
Yeah, he's good.
Like when he gets on there, he's like almost flawlessly sells me a premise.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, obviously we all bumble words here and there.
He goes on a little too long.
He goes on super long.
Way too long.
But again, that's something I like about Raw that Stone Cold complains a lot about. Mm-hmm. He's like, where are the matches? I kind of like the long intro. I like the story. That's just me personally. Mm-hmm. I know that I seem to be at odds with a lot of people who are just like, I want more matches. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's enough matches in the 3 hours where I could use... What I'm saying is that I think the story should be more... have more continuity. It should matter more.
Yes.
Feels like they throw things out. Like,
oh, all the time.
We can talk about Bray.
They're booking Snow.
We'll talk about the Bray and Undertaker thing in a little bit, but they were literally carried out by the Wyatt family.
Yes.
They were carried out, but then they just showed up.
Yeah.
So where did they go?
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, that should matter.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, think about it.
That's why people say they don't want a long 20-minute intro in the beginning, because they're like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just to set up tonight.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want you to set up tonight. I want you to set up the whole story.
And there's a point. And it's also like, if you don't need 20 minutes, don't do 20 minutes. Like, you could have done that thing in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's great. It would have been an awesome 5 minutes versus an awesome 5 minutes and a boring 15 minutes.
Yeah. Why do you think they go so long? Do you
think it's because they're stuck in their mentality of like, that's what you got to do. Like, that's like, you got your, and I think they make it up as they go along. Like, I think it's written very much like on the fly and rewritten. And
do you think that, here's something I don't know that I was thinking about. It's like, do you think Triple H has, he's like practicing what he's going to say beforehand?
No. Oh, well.
Give him bullet points,
no,
right?
He's a guy, well, he's pretty much running the show. And,
right.
And so it's like, I'm sure it's like, this is the point that we want you to say. And he's like, this is, and I'll say it in my own words.
Because that's why sometimes I think they go long, mm-hmm. is because they're thinking about every sentence in between.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, that's a wasted sentence. All right, that's a wasted sentence. Where it's like, if they were scripted a little more, I think that they would.
But you're not going to script him because that's scripting your boss. That'd be like.
No, of course. Yeah. Cool, good. So, I don't know. I just was enjoying Triple H. Though he did say monument.
Yes, I was actually going to bring that up. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah. I caught that. I wrote a note.
I had that in my head. I was like, monument?
He was like, we'll build a monument in your honor.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. You're going to have a monument.
Yeah.
Right? And he did it. George Washington.
Like, he didn't make a face like, why did I say monument? I don't know if he's like, he's just like, just stay in it.
I think it's better to just push through.
Yeah.
When you start correcting yourself, then you leave yourself open to the you fucked up chat.
Or if he thinks that's how, like, it's said. Like, if he just says monument, like, in his life. You know how some people will just pronounce words weird?
Yeah.
And that's just and how
no
they pronounce it.
No one corrects them, especially when you start being, like, a guy
powerful.
Power.
Yeah,
like, no
so I wonder if he was just like, it's the, it's the monument.
See, he's just been like, I'm going to go out there and say, we're going to make a monument to you. And the whole writer's room just stays silent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's get it. Here's a small thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Triple H put the belt on Reigns' shoulder.
Yes.
Okay. This is a really small peeve I have that you could feel free to be like, it's so stupid. I hate when someone who isn't the champion holds the championship.
You know what's
belt.
Interesting? I don't. It's not a big pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
I get it. I think it was cool visual for that thing because it is like, oh, he's tempting him. And you know what I mean? Look how great.
But then
he
it
looks.
Just makes it like this little, this like tangible, like rubber belt.
I get what you're meaning. It's like almost the payoff of when the guy finally wins it. You get to see him holding the belt and like that means something.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me that much, but I do get
it. Yeah. But I mean, it always strikes me as weird because then it reminds you how low the stakes actually are.
It'd be cool if it was like some. I know you can't do this, but like some Stanley Cup rule. Like, you know how with the Stanley Cup in hockey, it's like if you touch it before you win it, you're cursed and you'll never win it. It's but, like, don't touch the belt.
Exactly. 100% I agree. Yeah. But I always think that brings up another point, which is like, they should talk about what happens when you're the champ. Like, they should show your conditions go up, like your contract. They should talk about things like that to make it like more of a prize.
Like, of just like, even the simple thing of like, it's very old school, but like the winner's purse, where it's like, hey, if you win matches,
exactly,
you get more money. Like in UFC, that's the point. Yeah.
When someone wins a belt, the stakes are tremendous. Yeah. Like, when you lose a title shot in UFC, you went from like having like a life-changing amount of money.
And that's what makes people care about watching a thing. If it's just like, yeah, and I know in my head that it, obviously it's scripted and that's not real, but it's like, I want to get lost in the thing. I want to believe it's like, oh, this matters. This championship match
matters.
But
wrestling is best when it's real.
Yes.
And that's always when they've had their success. Is when like it's bleeding over into reality. Well, I don't know about always, but in the recent history,
it's believable. Like
Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania 30 is the most successful thing they've done in recent history for me.
Because it was
real. And it was real.
Yeah.
It was like behind the scenes, pushing him down, and then they had no choice but to push him through, and it happened in story form.
Yeah.
Great. So let's talk about Taker, Bray Wyatt. So let's talk about Bray Wyatt in general. How do you feel about Bray Wyatt?
I like Bray Wyatt. I think I do agree with some people that he can get a little boring or a little samey, and that it's... He's in a weird zone where it's like, I don't know if they know how to, well, this is a lot of guys, but like how to use him effectively. Because I do love his vibe. When the Wyatt family first started, I was like, kind of, that piqued my interest again in WWE. I was like, oh, this is really a cool character.
Right.
I love the whole Wyatt family. The Wyatt family Shield stuff I thought was great, like when they were doing that.
Yeah, that was great.
But now it feels directionless. And
they pushed the Shield.
Yeah.
Right? And that's been the story of Bray Wyatt, is that he is what me and my friends call a jobber to the stars.
Yes.
Right? Totally. So he's a guy who's just there to put other guys over.
Yeah.
But he's like one of the biggest roadblocks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's treated like
he's
a
massive
roadblock.
From the top.
But like, if you drive fast enough, you'll go over it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with him, is that he's amazing talent who they don't let win.
Yeah. And this is another thing just with this character, and I'm glad you mentioned, because I kind of want to talk about it, is how they handle like mystical or comic booky elements in WWE bothers me, because it feels like when you're talking about like, oh, I'm absorbed his powers, and then you show like he can do the pyro and the lightning bolt, it looks so stupid, because it's like, nobody thinks Kane really can make fire come out of the turnbuckles. Yeah. It's like, no, he just does that because he's cool.
Like, well, I kind of felt bad for, well, first off, talking about the special effects on this Raw, it looked like they were like drawn in.
Yeah.
I don't think they happened in the arena.
Well,
right?
That's what's stupid, is it's like, if you're going to lean into that, like, I think wrestling is best when it's real, and like that kind of stuff doesn't feel real, but it's just like, it's just conflicting with the reality of everything else. It's
except it for Undertaker and Kane, because they've just been doing it since before.
Yeah, but even then, it's like when they lean too hard into it, it's stupid.
They lean too hard into the magical power.
We're feeling like it's fine if it's just like, oh, he's magical. It's more like, oh, he just is it's like a mind fuck. Like, he's just like, oh, I'm messing with your head. Like, all the smoke is coming out. And it's just like, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, but it's not like, oh, I'm literally a demon.
But I think it worked on this Raw for the simple fact that Taker and Kane were there.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Bray Wyatt in the lead up to WrestleMania, because he was no Taker. He showed
it was
up on
very
no
hard
ones,
though. Yeah,
and he was just like cutting these promos to no one.
Yeah,
I mean that tends
and
to be one
the
of
the same
issues.
And pointless. Yeah,
his promos tend to be they're very just like nonsensical.
Yeah, but his delivery is great. I think
amazing
when he
actor.
He doesn't
incredible
say
actor.
Anything of substance. You
maybe
know
the
I mean?
Best
a writing
wrestling
issue.
Actor.
Yeah. I think he's really good.
Yeah, and he looks amazing. It's an amazing character. He is, I agree, like, this is his best angle that he has so far. Mm-hmm. That he is the new face of fear.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's going to take over for these guys. But if he loses to them, he's, like, screwed, in my mind, maybe forever.
Well, that's a lot of the story of his career. It's like, when he should have won, and they should have just been like, no, he's the guy. He's like, we'll just push him really hard, because people were into him.
He should have beat Cena at Mania.
Yes.
At, what was that, 30?
I believe so,
He should have beat Cena at 30, and he should have beat Taker at 31.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about how amazing he would be now if he was taking him down. My other point about Bray Wyatt is the same thing with Kevin Owens. I don't know exactly how you fight it or change it, is that these guys shouldn't wrestle so much. Because
that's the problem with the three-hour show and SmackDown and things like that, is people are overexposed, I think, a lot.
Right, like Bray Wyatt is an amazing performer. He would work so much better as like a cancer on WWE.
Yeah.
If he was a guy who just like interrupted stuff that mattered. Yeah. Like title. One of the biggest times I saw him get a pop ever was during, I believe, Royal Rumble leading up to WrestleMania 30.
Mm-hmm.
That gen. So a year. Yeah. So like 2 years ago almost. He interrupted Cena's. Cena had some cage match.
Uh-huh.
And then the, you know, you heard that little interrupt sound effect. And then the Wyatt family popped up. And that was how they established that Bray Wyatt was going to go for Cena at Mania.
Yeah.
And he went over huge. And it was interrupting a match.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he had no business with Cena. It's like, I'm just choosing him now.
He's got to feel like a force of chaos, like an outside element.
Exactly. He's the Joker.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
If he's the Joker of WWE, he'd be amazing.
Yes.
But if you're just going to be
a
speed bump, I mean, it makes everything he does so stupid.
I agree.
I think a Shield guy could lose to him and recover easier than Bray Wyatt can recover.
I agree. Yeah.
His losses are burying him.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. 100%.
Yeah, so... Oh, then my other point was that we talked about that, but like carrying Taker and... Mm-hmm. He's like, we're carrying them away, and then where did they go?
Oh, yeah, what happened? Yeah.
Because remember when they did it to Daniel Bryan, he became a Wyatt? I was like, okay, fine. So they went back there and they...
There's consequences. It's
a voodoo
like,
on him.
Yeah, and you don't need to see that, but it's like, oh, we get it. You know what I mean? It's like they took him away and then they deprogrammed him or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think they do that? Like, what's their deprogram regimen?
Probably like Clockwork Orange style, you know, like strap them down.
Open their eyes up, make them watch like a Wyatt promos.
Until it starts making sense.
You start talking about Sister Abigail. Do we know who Sister Abigail is?
You know what's funny is I think they've tried to make that a character, but I think it's cooler if it's not.
If it's just the thing
he says.
Once she shows up, that is the nail in the coffin for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
that is him jumping the shark.
Yeah.
When he wants Sister Abigail shows up, she's on a cane.
They're gonna call someone from NXT. 25-year-old
actress. My god! All right, let's talk about the Divas division.
Uh-huh.
We go from being a couple of sexist. We save the Divas division for this late in the conversation.
No, that's all right. They're messing for a thing that's with the women's division is so great in NXT right now.
Yeah.
I think NXT is the best thing going on in WWE. It is like WWE's indie.
Yeah, we haven't talked about NXT,
but it's
NXT.
Booked so well and so simple and such a great wrestling show of just like. Good workers, like, they're having fun matches. There's one angle in a show that you're like, I know where they're going.
Yeah.
It's simple and effective. And they're trying to do this whole, like, Divas Revolution, but it's not working because if you call it the Divas Division, you're inherently being sexist. And you can't be like, oh, women are taking over if you're going to call them Divas.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Also, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed because the belt's still a butterfly belt.
Yeah.
And they still get almost the same amount as TV time. At least it feels like. They still just get one match.
Yeah.
And for a while when it started, all the matches were tag matches. Like three-man tag matches.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not really a revolution.
Yeah. That you saw that, like, Sasha Bailey, like, their feud and those matches that they had on NXT were so good and so well done. And it's like they main evented shows. And it's like, this could get over.
Well, once Bailey comes up, that'll be huge.
Yeah.
She's great. Okay. But I will say, I watch the female. As a long time wrestling fan, I watch the female matches now and enjoy them. Like, they're good wrestling matches.
Well, it's the quality of the women.
Paige Becky Lynch was great, but I was watching that. I was into that match.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
It was okay. I think that
not amazing.
Fine. Yeah,
not pay per view quality, but I didn't feel the urge to fast forward it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It wasn't terrible. It was no like Sasha. Bailey, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it was like for a TV match, it was okay.
But those are like Mania caliber matches.
Yeah,
Sasha Bailey.
Yeah.
But that's what they do at NXT. They just do all top notch matches. So Paige, I like Paige as a heel.
I do too.
I think Paige is a really great heel.
Mm-hmm.
She stumbles on her words a little bit. Maybe she should she could work on that a little bit. But
yeah,
she really works heel.
Yeah.
And Charlotte is falling a little flat for me.
You know what's funny is like when I first saw her, I was like. This is a can't miss talent. I thought she was so great.
Charlotte?
I thought everything about her was great, but I think that something is not working for me.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think she's just not that over with the crowd.
Yeah.
And I think using her dad to pump her up was a mistake.
Interesting.
You don't think so?
I think it may have been. I think in retrospect, it may have been, but at the time I was like 100% just call her Charlotte Flair, have her be like,
right,
this is like, I am Ric Flair's legacy. And it's like, to me, it's even better that she's a woman in a way that I feel like no guy could have handled that, you know, in WWE being Ric Flair's kid.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been too much, but almost because she's a woman, it makes her different from Ric Flair. So it's like, she can have his legacy, but not compete with him in right. a way.
I agree that that adds up.
Yeah.
But it's not feeling,
but it didn't
it's
work.
Not,
yeah, it's
I'm
not
just
working.
Going on what happened.
It's yeah.
Like,
no, I agree.
It's like, it just felt like then once he was gone, that excitement kind of,
yeah,
kind of pulled away. I think, yeah, I mean, she could definitely grow.
Yeah.
Becky okay. Lynch, what were you saying?
Oh, that spot at the end of the beatdown where she did, what's the name of her finish?
The figure eight?
No, not Charlotte. Paige.
The Paige tap out?
Yeah.
Was it the PTO?
Yes, yeah. When they did it on the announce table, yeah. It was so stupid.
Well, it was stupid because it's not, it's...
They sold it like, oh, on the table, but it's like, nobody went through the table.
There's no stakes
yeah.
for being on a table.
Yeah.
Unless the table breaks.
Yeah, she does, like, and also that move, nobody even touches the table. She lifts her up. So it's like, you're not touching the table.
Yeah.
So the table means nothing here.
Okay.
But they sold it like it did. Like, I would have
yeah.
been okay if it was
yeah,
just
yeah.
like...
Oh, like, oh my god, it's on a table!
Yeah, it's like...
The table is doing so
yeah,
much
it felt
work.
Like a joke. Yeah, it felt like a bit that we would do as a joke
yeah.
of like, oh, the
like
table is
like we
would
do on the
devastate.
UCB show.
Exactly.
Like, yeah,
it's like,
one of our wrestling
oh,
shows.
Oh, it's on the table now!
Yeah, it's like, that's on the table!
Yeah.
It hurts so much more than
yeah.
on the canvas.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I thought I was like, oh, is she going to curb stomp her through the thing? Because I was like, oh, I
no,
get
man.
That.
Curb stomp's a bad thing.
I know, but it's bad. But I was just like, why would you... Just hold her up, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. You agree. I think Becky Lynch looks really stupid.
Yes.
Why is she dressed like full steampunk?
Yeah,
I like, she was
that.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Had really cool momentum as just kind of like a, I don't know, like a looser, like, rocker chick.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, it wasn't, like, defined, like, I'm this. But yeah. it was like, all right, she's, like, a little bit, like, has a, like, an attitude.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she just, like, slowly was... putting together a steampunk
yeah.
arsenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like one day she came out, she's wearing like aviation goggles.
I
don't
get it.
What the hell? I like the hair. I think the
yeah,
hair would be the color.
Fun,
cool.
Yeah.
But I don't understand that. I think it's going to hold her back, to be
yeah.
honest. Because now she's putting herself where like Tyler Breeze is, where it's like your gimmick is so extreme
yeah.
that it's hard to see you getting a full
push. You know
push.
What's funny? And I'm glad you mentioned him. Is I like Tyler Breeze. I mean, he's stuck in the mid card
yeah.
with this gimmick. But I do like something where it's like, to me, it's like, wrestling has many different styles, and it's like that style can be fun. It's just like, we're just gonna be full on goofy, where he's just like, he's a real goofy super character of like, oh, I'm a pretty little boy, like the prince of pretty,
yeah.
like all
no,
that stuff.
It also works for him because he's kind of like, he actually on the main roster and in the big arenas and everything, he looks way smaller,
mm-hmm.
so he comes off more Bieber-esque,
yeah,
you know, where he's just like kind of like a brat. I wish he didn't have Summer Rae with him.
Summer is
she's
no
just
good.
Been passed around
yeah.
and like feels almost sexist the way they treat her.
Very much.
Like, it's not almost. It's very
yeah.
sexist, but it's just like, we gotta just throw her with a man. That's
yeah.
the only way she works.
Yeah.
But I don't know the point of her because she doesn't wrestle
yeah, she's
or
not
really
that great.
Cut promos.
Yeah. yeah.
Like,
she's not like a manager
like
in
Lana,
the sense of
like
a
Lana,
Heenan or
yes.
you know what I mean, who it's like, oh,
Lana
this is a talker.
Spoke
yeah.
for
yeah.
Russo.
I like her. She's good.
Lana was great. Now, I mean, I don't know what they're
no,
doing. With
the Lana Russo thing was great. And like a lot of things in WWE, they have a good act and they're like, how do we break it up? Like,
yeah.
they're like, they look to ruin the things that they have that are good. They did that with like the Wyatt family. They're like, now we got to break them up. Like, why? They were great. The Shield
yeah.
Was a little too soon. I think it's like they could have done that for
the Shield felt
year.
Soon, but then Rollins' ascent
yeah, it worked,
made me be like, all right, that's
yeah.
fine. Because one big thing is like in WWE is they make these guys. These guys are so ready for so long to
uh-huh.
do big things.
Yeah.
And now they're starting to get hurt. Like Daniel
yeah.
Bryan.
They're too old. What happens is it's like they wait too long and
yeah.
they're old and then they get hurt and it's just like.
And also now the road to WWE is through the indies.
Yes.
And the indies is, I guess.
But
now,
even on NXT, they're keeping guys who are really good like Samoa Joe, Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
And they're keeping them there forever. And it's like these guys. You know, you can't keep them there for
yeah.
5-6 years.
Well, people
like, what's the point?
Argue me. I think one thing about wrestling that's incredible is, like, if you push guys, you'd be surprised by how much the fans will just
yeah.
buy it.
Yeah.
Like, Ambrose, when I was like, ah, I don't think Ambrose should be champion. Once he pretty much was the champion for that few
yeah.
seconds, he didn't actually win.
Yeah, no,
he
I
had the belt.
Mean.
I was like, yeah,
yeah,
this guy could be the champion.
Yeah,
yeah sure.
You just got to act.
Just act like
yeah.
champion.
Yeah.
If Sami Zayn came in, won the title on his first match, I'd be like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, and he's good enough, he can sell. You know what I mean? It's like, you have to be at a certain level as a performer. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, in comedy, it's like, you can't, like, you can just put anyone on SNL. But it's like, if you're good and you give someone a break, and it's like, well, maybe they'll get over. You know what I mean?
SNL maps perfectly to wrestling.
It really does.
It's amazing, because I was listening to Lauren Michaels on
the podcast, that as well, right? Yeah.
And, but the difference is that, well, first off, one of the main differences is that WWE is a publicly traded company.
Yes.
Which means their stockholders, quarterly reports, it starts being really hairy.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sucks for wrestling, because it doesn't really align.
Doesn't help wrestling. Yeah.
Whereas, like, but it aligns with SNL, where you're like, oh, it's peaks and valleys, the whole business.
Yeah.
Wrestling right now is in, for the, not for us wrestling fans.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's great right now. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's technically in a valley. Ratings-wise, I think that it doesn't have any casual viewership right now, except for when Lesnar's around. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels. Of course, I've never checked any of these stats.
Yeah, no, but you're right. Like, their ratings are way down.
The ratings are low, but I know, but I don't know that, like, when Lesnar's around, the ratings go up.
I think they do.
So now they're just like, right. But right now, they really need to push new talent.
Yes.
Like, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, these guys need to come in, start winning championship belts, and start telling people these are the new guys.
When it's like SNL, it's like when all your big people leave. You know what I mean? Like, even this past, when you had, like, Kristen Wiig left, Fred Armisen, like, Bill Hader. It's like, okay, now you gotta, where's the new guys? Like, bring them up, and then, yes, it'll take a little while for the people to, like, warm up to
so
them.
Lauren Michaels,
Lauren Michaels is
he
like,
he made that cool, he's like, just trust me.
Yeah, and it's just like, he stays the course. Like, if SNL was run like WWE, it'd be like, here's our new people, and then in 3 weeks, it'd be like, no, like, and then take them back.
Right.
And then people are like, oh, you don't, no, this isn't working. It's like, no, just keep them going, like, trust it, like, it
just
make
the
call.
Right, Lauren Michaels has to be like, I think that Michael Che is amazing talent, and he's just be like, I'm just going to ride him out, and everyone will get a
board. Yeah, it'd be like, he has that luxury just to like do a it. Different person every week.
We're wrestling stockholders, like right now, it'll just be people on the internet being like, he sucks, whatever, like whatever the, you know, whatever like, the trolls
like,
say.
Yeah.
But he's got stockholders, he's got a board of directors just being like, well, these ratings are down.
Yeah.
And so then they start bringing back Sting, and then not developing anybody. So I think obviously that's the big problem we all know right now. So cool. So we're going. Oh, here's my big thing. Talking about divas. Last thing I'm going to say about diva position. I think Sasha Banks should win the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
you're laughing.
That'd be cool.
You're laughing. Yeah. It sounds crazy. But I think if you want to say there's a divas revolution, there's already been female. Just hear me out. There's been females already in the Royal Rumble. Correct.
Correct.
Multiple.
Yes.
I don't know the stats, but China's one of them.
Ivory may have been in it 1 year.
I don't think Sasha should come in and start beating up dudes. Maybe like a dude, like maybe a smaller dude, like like one of the Lucha Dragons or something, right? But I think she can come in, they'll get a huge 30, huge pop for her. She'll hide, throw someone over. Then you have Charlotte, Sasha, and Mania. You have like a true main event caliber female match. Change the division to the women's division before that happens. And then you have Bayley coming up. You have amazing talent in NXT. You're actually setting the women's division. What's her name?
I just forgot her name. She used to be Kana. But
right.
Asuka?
Well, there's Nia Jax.
Yeah.
She's coming up. But whatever. It's not Asuka's even the point. Right. Is that there's enough talent. That's something that I think would be really cool. I think a lot of the male matches you could set up without the Rumble, if Reigns is going to main event, he doesn't need to win the Rumble. He already main evented last year. We'll buy it.
Here's why that'll never happen. One,
I agree.
Here's the big reason, though.
Yeah.
And it's a stockholders issue, is they don't like men on women violence. So you'll never see that ever
That's what I'm saying. There'll be no fighting. No one would ever can come close to hitting her.
Yeah. I think that wouldn't work. You would, to really, if you're being like, if from the angle of like, look, she won. It's like, she has to compete.
And Ronda Rousey's huge right now. You're Ronda Rousey,
guest
referee, Sasha versus Charlotte.
Of course it would, but they don't get what makes Ronda Rousey popular. They think they do, but they don't. And what it is she's dominant. She happens to be a woman, but it's like, no, she's just good. She's good, and she wins, and she's like fun and a great personality. And it's like, You have that in Sasha. You have that in Bayley. You have that in Asuka. It's like, just push them and let them be actual characters rather than divas. Like,
yeah, I agree.
But they're sexist and they want
to change. Just agree that it's a good idea.
Yeah, sure.
Will you agree that
in
it's
a
good
vacuum?
Idea?
Yeah, great.
Okay, sure. Cool, good. Let's just talk quickly about Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
So Survivor Series is now going to be dominated by this tournament.
Oh, wait, sorry. Before we do this, can I talk about the Alberto Del Rio stuff?
Yes, we can talk about Del Rio with
I can't believe they bring Zep Colton. They bring him back and they just ruin him immediately.
Oh, in what way?
Mexamerica?
Oh, I know.
What is that? First of all, it's like we were talking earlier about how wrestling like taps into what's going on in culture right now. And Zeb Coulter character was great with like Jack Swagger. I was like, oh yeah, this like Tea Party movement. Birther. It's like build a wall. Like, this like racism. It's like, yeah, great. Have a racist character. You know what I mean? Who's like pro-America. Like that's exists in the culture. Like nobody now is talking about Mexamerica. That's not a thing.
No.
You're just making up nonsense.
No, you just were like, it was just clearly like, well, Zeb's doing nothing.
Yeah.
And Zeb's doing nothing, and we get Del Rio's back and doesn't have the mic skills that we want.
Those characters don't work together. It's like, if you have a kind of like, I'm a pro-America, anti-foreigner heel, then you have a Hispanic babyface who's like, I'm all about, you know, Mexico, I'm fighting for Mexico, which is like, they need him as a strong baby face, and that's what they wanted, that's why they hired him back, is it's like, you just killed him. Like, you think the Hispanic audience wants to see him teamed with an anti-Latino racist?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. Vince must feel that, like, all right, we want him. Vince probably thinks, like, all the Latinos want to be American.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
It's so close to just being, stupid. Like, people have actual, you know, national pride. Yeah. If he was just like, hey, I'm for Latinos. That's it. I'm the hero of the Latinos. And they're just like, that's my guy.
Yeah.
That would be like the same way we connected with Goldberg.
Yeah.
Like him being Jewish really.
Yeah, it felt cool.
Especially at that time, there was no like jacked Jews.
No.
Like it went from Woody Allen to Goldberg.
That feels like the title Sandler, of a book you're writing. Sandler. Like from Allen to Goldberg.
I totally agree. Let's talk about Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So, I think it's going to be dominated mainly by the tournament. With the card's not up yet. But let's look at let's look at this card. See what... Well, right now we're looking at the bracket that they showed at the end of Raw.
It's a very pathetic bracket, honestly. If you look at this, you see how they don't have any stars, really.
Well, so what do you think will happen? Gun to the head.
Roman Reigns wins. It's Reigns.
Reigns Ambrose.
Ambrose.
Reigns Ambrose. Is the tournament going to happen? Have they announced this? Is the tournament happening at Survivor Series? Like,
I'm not
this
sure.
This match? Or are we starting from here at the Survivor Series?
I think maybe just the finals.
Or is it
finals.
Leading up to Survivor Series?
I think just the finals. But I'm not sure.
That'd be so much cooler to have like a pay-per-view that is just a tournament.
Yeah, they've done that. But I think King of Ring stuff.
Right, they've done that before.
I don't think Vince likes that. And I don't know how well that is done. They killed King of the Ring.
Well, King of the Ring they kill because it's just like
a
segment
again,
on Raw.
Yeah, well, it's a thing that doesn't matter. Whoever wins King of the Ring
is
actually a negative.
Roman, Cesaro, Roman, clean win.
I mean, I wish it was Cesaro. Because
that's a bummer that Cesaro can't move on any further.
I don't know why. He has everything that they want. He looks great. He's a great wrestler in the ring.
Were you at Hell in a Cell?
No, I wasn't.
I went to Hell in a Cell, and there was a pre-match. It was Ziggler, who got me the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. Ziggler, Cesaro, and Neville were a team against,
all great,
against like Barrett, Sheamus, that whole squad, and they were amazing. But Cesaro came out, he looked great. I was blown away by his wrestling, and the crowd was he was so over.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not have the charisma, which is what Vince said on that Stone Cold podcast.
He does. It's just not in the traditional sense of like cutting a 20-minute promo. Like in the ring, he sells you immediately as a character.
He's just a good wrestler. Some guys can be good wrestlers.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan proved that, where it's like you can win over people.
Well,
with
charisma is funny because it's not just interview. It's like as a character, am I hooked to you? If I'm watching a TV, and I remember like when Daniel Bryan was Bryan Danielson on the indie scene, and I would take like non-wrestling fans to shows and be like, this will be a fun night. Or, like, I'm watching the DVD and someone comes in my house.
You saw Bryan Danielson on the indie scene?
Tons, yeah.
When he was, like, the American Dragon?
Yeah, American Dragon Bryan Danielson.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That's amazing.
But everyone...
I learned that by Wikipedia him after yeah. he was the champion.
I saw his retirement from ROH was very emotional. Him and Nigel McGuinness.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm watching him since I started.
You're going to be our indie expert.
Yeah, I'd love to be. But like everyone who saw Bryan Danielson was just like, who's this guy? Like everybody was like, this guy has it. And I knew it's like, he'll be so successful if they give him a chance. Cause right. it's like, it's more than just, can he do 20 minute promos? It's like, he draws your eye. And the same thing is true about Cesaro was Claudio Castagnoli on the indie scene. He was just like, who is this guy? Because just in the ring, he looks impressive. Like everything about him is fun. Like his, man, he had so many catchphrases and evolutions of his character of just like, he would, every time we would throw a European uppercut, people would go, hey, for a while. Yeah. And that was a big thing. And he was just like, he was a great heel. He was like a monster heel for a while. He beat the shit out of Bryan Danielson and a bunch of ROH. They had a great feud. And it's just like, he has it. Right. Not to the level of Bryan Danielson, I think, in a way, but like, he's so good and he deserves way better than.
Right. Well, yeah, I agree. I think everyone agrees. Stone Cold, Steve Austin agrees, and he matters a great deal. Yeah, so Roman will go over clean here. It'll be a pretty good match.
Yeah.
Roman feels like he can... His matches, I tend to be into them if he's wrestling a good guy.
Yeah.
Which is very Cena-esque.
Well, he needs someone who can, like, kind of carry it or show him the way. And that's not a knock. A lot of people do. And Cesaro is one of the best, I think, in the business right now.
Right.
So good.
So it's like this seems to be the weakest part of the
Del Rio Stardust.
Del Rio
goes over stupid clean. Not to.
Kalisto, Ryback. Kalisto could win that for the goof.
Yeah, for
because
the goof of it.
It will, like, it,
you know what's so sad is he was so good. Yeah, he was in PWG for a hot second as Samurai Del Sol.
Yeah.
And he was like so athletic, so unbelievable. Yeah. And he was signed immediately because they're like, we need a Hispanic.
A new Rey Mysterio.
Like, yeah. And then just flop because. Nah, you can't make a new Rey Mysterio. You know what I mean? Rey Mysterio is once in a lifetime.
The masks always in Lucha stuff, it always hurts, in my opinion. Because you can't connect with a mask.
El Generico.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn is El Generico.
Yeah, but then what happened? The second he came to WWE, they were like, take the mask off.
They would have made so much money. I mean, if they're smart, they'll make tons of money with Sami Zayn. But even with a mask, he was so good. If you watch old El Generico masks, his body language. Like he really conveyed so much emotion with his body and his eyes and his mouth. It was.
But part of it was he had the broken Spanglish, right?
Well, that's just a little. That was like the silly part of his gimmick. But like in matches, I mean, like you 100%. He was. Yeah. He's the best baby.
Obviously,
face.
I like
so
him better
good.
Like this, but I only know him like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you watch those old matches, even you may have your own preference, but you'll be like, no. You connect with him. Like he is so good.
He's
great. No reason he's
not
on the main roster.
I know people say I'm crazy. People think I'm crazy that I think he should come back and just win. Like I think he's an instant star.
He's injured, unfortunately, right?
No, I know, but when he comes back, I think he should win.
Yeah.
I like the belt. I'm talking about the belt.
I agree.
And people think I'm just crazy.
I don't think you're crazy. I would have him win the belt. I would have him do another Kevin Owens Sami Zayn.
What's the alternative is Owens.
Yeah.
Which is Owens has just lost all his steam.
Yeah.
Owens came in
hot and then
so
they
hot.
Cool them. Yeah.
I mean, so hot.
So
I was,
hot.
I was
they
just,
had a guy
I
that
just,
hot since,
I couldn't
since
even
Punk.
Watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the new Punk.
Yeah.
I couldn't even, his promos were, I mean, it was just unbelievable. I couldn't even watch him sitting down.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the best guy ever. This guy's revolutionized.
That's how we felt on the indie scene, man. Yeah. He was that good.
Oh, yeah. That's how I felt on that. When I used to watch him at Steen all the time, I go watch him up at PWG. Nah, whatever. So this is a useless bracket. Roman will win. Roman advances. Roman Kalisto. It'll be Roman Del Rio.
Probably,
Roman Del Rio. Then Owens. Probably have Owens Neville.
I'd be very surprised if Barrett wins.
Boy, does Owen shine when he fights a guy who's smaller than him.
Because
his finisher requires a full jump.
Yeah.
From
Neville, formerly Pac on the indie scene,
is
incredibly athletic. And that I think that Owens Neville will be such a great match. Neville's another guy I think they're kind of blowing.
Neville's botched. He's another guy I said should come out and win the belt. And people thought I was crazy. Now it seems crazy because he's like a guy who comes out in a cape. But I say,
he's not
come
a talker.
Out,
he's the guy
nothing,
who does it in the ring.
Do that red arrow, fight, come in. I'm big on guys coming in and like winning the
of
belt
course.
Day one. Because it's like, once you build that momentum, it's just priceless, but it's hard to get him back up.
Yes.
But I mean, I sound crazy because I'm saying all these guys should win. But when I watch NXT. Mm-hmm. So when I'm watching NXT, these guys are already stars.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't know. And that's another thing in wrestling. I mean, we talk forever, but the difference between NXT and people who are watching Raw. So in my head, it must be a vast amount of. It must be like, what's the percentage of Raw watchers who watch NXT?
I bet there's a lot more overlap than they think. I bet that.
It's definitely higher than they think.
I think they think it's like 10%, but I think they also think that like people watch SmackDown or Raw and nobody watches both, when it's like, no, most people I think are wrestling fans, are hardcore into it, and they'll watch whatever they can.
Right.
You know what I mean? But so I think maybe it's not 50%, but I'll say 40. Yeah. Like, I think people watch NXT.
The pop for NXT guys when they show up is lower than I expect, though. Mm-hmm. So that's when they show up on Raw.
I think in the crowd, it's people like, huh? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. There's like enough people, and it's a huge, it's always a huge arena.
It's a big arena. It's tough to get everybody concentrated.
So here, I said Owens goes into the winner's bracket here.
With Ambrose.
Ambrose just goes over clean. And I think Breeze will take out Ziggler here.
Yeah,
this won't be a clean win. Because they'll set up the Ziggler Breeze thing. Though it's a bummer, because why not put Ziggler in the lower? If you're looking at the bracket that they're showing on the screen, it would be your bottom left bracket. I wish I knew enough about March Madness to say what bracket this is. But I imagine this is the this would be the Southwest division.
Conference.
Conference. Yeah, if you're looking at the Southwest division, put Ziggler in here and push him further. I'm so biased on Ziggler.
No. I know he's your boy. He's
legitimately
your
someone I consider a friend.
Yeah. I think he's a tremendous talent that they've really ruined. They've done all they can to ruin him when he's so good and at times was so over and should have had like a great main event career.
I still think I believe. I stick.
But they don't like him.
If you whatever they don't. If you give Ziggler the strap, people will be like, yes.
Oh, people.
They will just be like, yes. Oh. And the crowd will go nuts for him, and he will feel like a main eventer. A main eventer.
The company won't.
Yeah.
That's the problem with WWE is the company.
That's what put Daniel Bryan over.
No, they don't care.
Make the story that Ziggler. Remember the Survivor Series last year? Mm-hmm. When he single-handedly got rid of the Authority, Sting showed up to save him.
And then they were back in 4 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah, because John Cena verbally agreed to it. That's the continuity
thing,
we're talking about.
There's no consequence.
There's no consequence.
Why would I ever watch this? There's no stakes. The stipulation doesn't matter.
But the wrestling is really good right now.
Yeah, because they've got great talent.
They got amazing talent.
Isn't there. Yeah, but Ziggler, I think, is great, but unfortunately, he's...
I'm just saying, he seems like the answer to the reality era. Like, your reality era is all about, like, what's real. Everybody knows the company doesn't like Ziggler.
Yeah.
There's articles. Literally, there's an article. He did our show, and then there's an article that came out that someone linked me to that said, like, that's when he had the IC belt, when he beat The Miz. And someone said he dropped the strap because they didn't like his improv show bookings. I never brought it up to him because I didn't know if it was true or not. But he did drop the strap.
Yeah.
And then he had to renegotiate his deal. And probably they addressed that issue.
They don't like anyone doing outside stuff.
Yeah, they don't want anyone having like a career.
What do you think about this? So if you have an Ambrose Reigns final, what do you think about, this is fantasy booking, Reigns heel turn in the final win.
I don't think that's so
fantasy.
And then
that sets up,
I think that's
like, you got your program, you got
Reigns goes into Mania as a heel champion.
You got Reigns. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be really smart. I don't think
they shake hands in the beginning of the match and they're like, let's just have a fair match. Yeah. We're brothers. Like, they hug it out almost. And then something happens where the Authority helps Reigns.
I think even you could tell a fun story of like Reigns, you know, they're brothers, they love it, but Ambrose, he's getting the upper hand on Reigns, and then he's just like, oh, I was all buddy buddy with you and I thought I was better, but the second that it's like I'm not good enough to hang with you, that's when he's like, well, I need the belt. So that's when he like,
I would love
goes
that
heel. I think that's such a natural,
so let's say
great story
as our booking, our fantasy and our realistic booking of what we think is gonna happen. Is we think Reigns goes over in heel fashion.
Yeah, I think babyface Ambrose is great. You make him almost like I don't want to say like a Stone Cold light, but like, you know what I mean? I think Ambrose is such a great performer and can do that character of, you know what I mean? Kind of like a wild man, like a man scorned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think he can be a great babyface against a heel Reigns, who people are like predisposed to not like anyway.
And that's kind of the story of Ambrose, is he's kind of been the one who's got the most screwed by the Shield in general.
Yeah, and so he's screwed again.
Break up, the Shield
break
up. He got the most, because he was the head of the Shield. Mm-hmm. He was the guy in front. They'd be in a literally like a triangle formation.
He was their promo
guy.
Like
the flock formation. Yes. And he'd be in front, and you thought he was the star. Rollins was the least star of that group. Like, you know, I didn't know him on the indie scene.
He was the worker.
I was just like, he was the worker. But I slowly started being like, oh, that guy with the stupid hair is pretty good. And it started being like that guy with the stupid hair is pretty good. So,
but I think Ambrose, that'd be great.
Ambrose in a place of like, of trying to, bounce back from again being screwed.
Yeah.
He's been double screwed.
You know why I think there may be a small chance? Because I think maybe they'd like the idea of doing another Survivor Series screw job kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hope they don't because Jesus Christ, is that played out?
Yeah.
But
great. All right. Well, I think that sums it up. I think that's the first episode. That felt good.
Oh, that felt great.
Thanks for being my first guest on the show.
Sure.
And thanks everyone who's listening. I appreciate it. Hope you learned something. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Matthew, or at the Matthew Cohen, TheMatthewCohen on Twitter. I don't know when this is coming out.
This is going to come out as soon as I can figure out the technology.
Great. So a couple months.
A couple months. This will come out. We're talking about an episode of Raw from a couple months ago.
I got a show next Thursday. Actually, I got two shows at UCB next week. I got one next Tuesday, the 17th, 11 p.m.
That's cool shit, weird shit.
Yeah.
That's a great show that you brought over from New York
to
the L.A. Theater. Uh-huh. You guys literally bought a car for the audience.
We did, yeah. On one show, we bought a car.
We bought a real car for the audience.
Yeah, and then my
sketch show. That's very similar to wrestling, right? Wrestling loves to fuck with cars.
Yeah.
They like to smash up cars.
We did not smash our car. We sold it.
You remember that WrestleMania John Cena drove a Mustang?
Yeah.
He was like, he was down the block for no reason. And he clearly wasn't him. It was clearly a stunt driver.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can talk for
Yes, of course. And then Thursday the 19th at 9:30 p.m. at UCB Franklin, Ethical Female Manipulation. It's a sketch show I wrote about pickup artists.
Oh, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Ethical Female Manipulation?
Ethical Female
Manipulation. There's no such thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the joke.
I know. I was playing along.
Of course.
Cool. And you can find me. I'm your host, Dan Black. Thank you for listening. On Twitter at DBlackAttack. Tell me if you like the show. Tell me if you hated the show. I don't know. Just tell me whatever. I don't care. I'll speak to you. And come check out our show. We don't have a date for the next one, but I do a comedy wrestling show at UCB. It's normally like midnight in the most inside show for wrestling fans, by wrestling fans. It's quarterly at UCB. I'll post the date. Cool. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. Yeah, you let the music keep playing, Mr. Dunn. Yo, tell me whose time it is now.